verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Then the fathers, they have authority, but they also have to be submissive. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but notice your responsibility. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Keep in mind that all of this is still an expression of the infilling of the Spirit. Be ye filled with the Spirit by being submissive in all these ways. We'll hurry on. Verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. And I'll tell you, you need the Spirit of God to be subject to some masters or bosses in this world. But you be subject to them according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart. How? As unto Christ. You work for them like you would be working for the Lord. Further, verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. You're not just doing it to get by on the outside what looks good, but you're doing it as service unto the Lord. Notice, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's the secret of a real servant's heart, is or being a real servant is from the heart. Verse 7, with good will. It means a good attitude. So, you know, sometimes people do things, but then, oh brother, the attitude they have. Well, we must do it with good will, doing service, once again, as to the Lord and not to men. Now, notice verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. This is where that we must realize that even though we're working for a man, our real boss is the Lord. And our money, our sustenance, our reward all comes from Him. So whatsoever good thing any man does, he'll receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Masters don't escape from submission either. You masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. So you have to be subject to your master, even for the benefit of those over you. All right. Then verse 10, finally, my brethren. And the finally here is what he's talking about, this fourth part in being filled with the Spirit. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And how? In the power of his might. In the Spirit. See, be filled with the Spirit. And there is a very special reason for that. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We must be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost in order to wage this successful warfare against the enemy. And you will notice here that you may be able to stand against the wiles. God is not so much concerned about the power of the devil. And don't misunderstand me, he does have power. But God was concerned about us falling prey to the wiles or the tricks of the devil. And that is where the church has really failed. The church has been so deceived by the enemy today, it is absolutely pathetic. And so we must be filled with the Spirit of God in order that we do not succumb to the wiles or the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or in the heavenlies. This whole book has been about taking our place in the heavenlies in Christ. And so when we do that, we are going to go head to head against Satan himself, because he is the prince of the power of the air. Therefore, we must be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost in order to wage that kind of a warfare. And you will notice it is against spiritual wickedness. In a completely different realm. We're in a mortal realm, but we're having to battle in a spiritual realm. And therefore, we must have the power of the Holy Ghost in order to do that. Wherefore, verse 13, that is because of the tactics of the devil, because it's a spiritual warfare, because we're against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And what overcomes darkness? Light. That's why that we must have the power of the Holy Ghost in order to understand and to walk in light. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And as we go through this whole armor of God, there are seven pieces of that armor, and we need every one of them. We can't leave any of them out. Take unto you the whole armor of God. And you will notice that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, so many want to pursue. Well, we're going to go over and we're just going to whack the devil and just take complete victory. Did you know that that's not what the Scripture says? Now, we do have victory over Satan. I don't want to imply that we do not, because we certainly do. But I believe we are coming down in our day to where that the greatest victories that we are going to have is right here. Withstand in the evil day, and having done all, simply to stand. Just hold our ground. We're not necessarily wiping out the devil as some people seem to think. We're going to clean this world up. No, we're not. We're not going to bring in revival as we have brought out before. We are doing well just to hold back the forces of darkness, standing against what we have. 2 Samuel 23, verses 11 and 12 is a real good verse along this line. A man commended just because he stood and held the ground that he had. And that's exactly what God is wanting us to do in our day, just having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. Here's how we do it. Number one, having your loins girt about with truth. We must have the truth of God's word if we are going to stand against the wiles of the devil. But you see, this is what happened in the church. There is not really that drive to study the Scripture. People are really not interested in studying God's word. They want to be entertained. They want to jump and dance and shout. They want to do all of these kinds of demonstrations, but people do not want to get rooted and grounded in God's word. They don't want to be girt about with truth. They'll take a scripture here or a scripture there that makes them feel all better and things like that, but they do not want to be really strengthened in their loins with truth, because that takes a real commitment. Notice further, having on the breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate, of course, is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must learn to claim that righteousness and not our own righteousness. This is the breastplate that is over the heart. It speaks of having that love for Christ, a preeminent love for Jesus. And this is what is going to carry us through, as Jesus himself has told us time and again. And so, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Number three, your feet shod with the gospel of peace? No. With the preparation of the gospel of peace, which means that we have to put in the time of preparation. It is us who are going to have to prepare for this message. Sometimes people want to get it magically all at once. I just want to rain it down, fill me up, and I'll go on my way. No. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, prepared that we might actually walk in it. But it's going to take some time of preparation. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. But compare that with Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we are going to have faith, we must put in the time in God's word. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And you'll notice that they are darts. They're shot from afar. See, the devil stands off out there and just hurls his darts. And if people succumb to that, then of course, then he can get closer in. But we want to be those who are able to quench the fiery darts. Number five, take the helmet of salvation. This is the one that guards our heads. And 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5 is a good verse on that. Philippians 4, 7. All of these guard our minds, our thoughts, our reasonings. And I'll tell you, the devil can inject such thoughts in our heads today. We must have the helmet of salvation. What's it mean? The helmet of deliverance. Knowing that God is going to deliver us, and putting our confidence in His deliverance rather than in men. Number six, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, we have to know what that sword is. You know, when Jesus went against the devil, he quoted very specific scriptures. And you see, that's why we need to know the Word of God. When Satan comes against us, then we need to know the point of the sword, so to speak, with which to attack. I mean, if he's talking about one thing and we quote about something else, forget it. We must have that pinpoint message to answer the accusations that he brings against us with the sword of the Spirit. Number 7, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplications, what? In the Spirit. See, Paul is still talking about being filled with the Spirit. And so praying in the Spirit, and it is praying always. Compare this with Luke 22:46. Jesus said the same thing. This is why I've said again and again, I believe that the Wednesday evening prayer meeting is the backbone of any meeting. Because prayer just simply is, you know, there's no substitute for it. We must have the saints praying. And whether they're able to make it to the church or not, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Prayer has to be an active part of our Christian experience if we are going to survive. And so what I want to see here is that prayer is just as much a weapon or an armor, part of the armor, as all of these other six are. It is the seventh one. So praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit doesn't just mean praying in tongues. That's one way to do it. But we can pray in the Spirit in our own native tongue. That is, the Spirit, we pray in the Spirit as we are prompted and motivated by the Spirit of God. And I've heard some tremendous spiritual prayers in English. So praying in the Spirit doesn't, just as some people say, mean praying in tongues. It can be, but it is not exclusive to that by any stretch of the imagination. A good commentary of praying in the Spirit is Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. And then you'll notice, watching thereunto. The word watching means to be sleepless. It means to keep awake. And of course, the reason you're doing that is to pray. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples? What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? They were sleeping for sorrow. So in our day, watching thereunto, unto prayer, with perseverance. That means it's not just done one time, well, we forget it. No, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. The word means to beg, as binding oneself. It means that we are just completely cast upon the Lord Himself. And you'll notice it is for all saints. We are not in this prayer thing or in this armor thing just for ourselves. It is for all saints. And then Paul had a very specific request, and this is a request that I would make of and have made of our people here, and I believe it should be made for the church all around the world. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. I believe that there needs to be a special prayer prayed constantly that Paul's gospel would go forth. That's what he's talking about. Is the message that he had that is so unique to any other message. And so we need to pray that Paul's gospel would be preached around this world. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery. See, everyone is not preaching the mystery. There are those preaching just fundamentals and general things, a feel-good gospel. But so many, they don't preach the mystery because they don't even know what it is. We must study the mystery in order to understand it. We got into that in our lesson last week, talking about the mystery of the gospel, the hidden things of the gospel of Christ. It is the depths beyond just the fundamental truth. For which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know why Paul said that? Because the mystery is not a popular message. Paul's gospel was not popular in his day, and it is not popular in our day. And so we must have that unction of the Holy Ghost in order to speak it boldly. But that you may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Paul realized the need of communication with others. It's not, you know, it's not easy just to stand and to preach the message and to think that you're all alone and feel like that you're all alone. We need the interaction and the interest of other people. It's good to know that other people are prospering and preaching the message too. And so Paul says here that you may know my affairs and how I do. You need to know that. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister, he'll make it known to you. It's not just being oblivious to what is going on with other people. We are interested in them, Paul says. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he might comfort your heart. You see, we're all in it together, and so we're not isolated on some island, and I'll take care of my business, and you take care of yours, and we'll all happily meet in heaven. That's not the way that Paul says. We are one body, we're all in it together, and we're all battling against the same arch enemy, the devil. Verse 23, peace be to the brethren and love with faith. And I've noticed this over the last few weeks. Galatians 5, 6 is where you want to reference here. Love with faith. Paul says that there is faith which worketh by love. These two go hand in hand. Paul tells us that I may have all faith, but if I have not love, I am nothing. These two twin sisters must go together. And so peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. You know what Paul is getting at here in this last verse? Preeminent love for Jesus. As I said, when Jesus wrote that letter to the Ephesians there in Revelation 4, or 3, or 2, I think it was 2, thou hast left thy first love. See, Paul, in his last exhortation to those Ephesian saints, said, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. That is the preeminent love that we must have for Jesus if we are going to succeed. All right, this is as far as we will go tonight. Any questions before we dismiss?
I have one. You said that the responsibility of the husband was to be spiritual.
Oh, to feed her spiritually, the nourishment. Yeah, he nourish in verse 29. He nourishes it.